Tell me, what do we celebrate at Christmas? Tell me again. The birth of Jesus Christ. We Christians, that's what we say we do. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to talk this week just simply a very simple message. I want to look at six passages of Scripture. Hope you'll look them up. And want to talk about who that Jesus is. Because sometimes people just leave that Jesus in the manger, as Sam talked about. That's all they think about is, when they think about Jesus, it's baby Jesus in the manger. Some people think about Jesus as being one of the world's greatest religious leaders. Some people think about Jesus as being a good moral teacher. I want to talk about what the Bible says about Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. What does the Bible say about Jesus? John chapter 1, beginning in the first verse, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We know from verse 14 that the Word was Jesus. So let's look back at 1 and see what it talks about. It says, the Word was with God. Jesus was with God. Then it says, Jesus was God. How could that be that He is with God and He is God? How is that possible? That He could be with Him and be Him. That's what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 says, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So not only was He with God, and He was God, He was the Creator of how many things? How many? All of them. He's the Creator of everything that exists. So this little baby that we're talking about, that we're celebrating His birth, was in the beginning. By the way, what does that phrase remind you of? Genesis, in the beginning. When the beginning began, Jesus was already there. Okay? In the beginning, He was there. He was with God, He was God, and He was involved in the creation of the whole world. Probably going to get this song wrong. Some of you who are good on music, help me. But the hands that held Him as a baby was created by Him. Right? The hands that held Him were the hand, were, those hands were created by Him. So He was in the beginning, He was with God, He was God, He created everything that exists. That's the baby that we celebrate. Now, almost every year, I remind you that the odds are almost zero that Jesus was born on December 25th. The odds are almost zero that Jesus was born on December 25th. And I say it that way because we really don't know when He was born. The Bible doesn't tell us what date. We have some parameters. We know some of the people who were leading. We know when they were living and all that kind of stuff. But we really don't know what month or day He was born. Most Bible scholars believe that He was born 4 B.C. Is that what you've always heard? Some will change a year or two here and there, but basically most of them believe that He was born 4 B.C. But not very many of them will tell you what date they think he was born, what month or what day. But several of them will tell you we're pretty sure it was not December 25th. And the reason we're pretty sure that's true is because the weather conditions in that area in Bethlehem were about the same as the weather conditions in Savannah, Georgia. That same, whatever that line is that goes across the world, we call that latitude, okay? I get mixed up on which one is the longitude and which one is the latitude. But anyway, so it's about the same weather. And most likely with winter weather, the shepherds would not have been out in the field. They would already have brought their sheep in. So we're pretty sure it's not December 25th. But we celebrated it December 25th. And as Christians, we celebrate the birth of Christ. And we continually remind ourselves that it is about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. That's what we say we're doing. And I think the Christmas Eve service is one of the greatest purpose for the Christmas Eve service is that we just stop and remember this is what we say we're celebrating. And all the hustle and bustle and all the family parties and the class parties and the work parties and the shopping and the decorations and all that kind of stuff, what we try to do on Christmas Eve is just bring you here and for 45 minutes just stop and say, this is what we say it's about. All this other stuff is extra and it's okay, but this is what it's really about. This is what we're trying to celebrate. So from John 1:1-3, who was Jesus? He was God. He was with God and he was the Creator. Now I want you to look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 that I read a minute ago. And I just wanted to reread one of those verses. But Jesus was involved in ministry, and Jesus' ministry involved two aspects in the sense that he ministered to people, and he preached to people, and he taught people, but he had a more intense purpose for his ministry, which was to train 12 people to preach. And so his ministry was directed to a whole group of people and more directed to this small group of 12 people that he was discipling, that he was training. And I think what happened, can't prove this, but I think what happened is that he would send them on short-term mission trips. Okay, he would just send them out to minister. And I think on one of the occasions when they came back, it's time for a checkup. We need to see how we're doing. Our goal is to teach people who I am. How are we doing? What do people think about me? What are people saying about me? Well, some say they were John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, and his message were very, very powerful. He converted hundreds of people. But John the Baptist was dead. People say, well, he's John the Baptist. He's come back to life. Others said he's Jeremiah, Elijah, prophets who had been dead for hundreds of years. In other words, they had made some progress. Most everybody that heard about him knew there was something special about Jesus. And so they said, well, he must be one of the prophets. Some of them even said he must be one of the prophets who've come back to life. I don't know if Jesus was disappointed at that answer or not. I know that they had not reached the place that he wanted them to reach. So when he said, what do people think about me? And they told that answer, that was not the right answer. So he said, well, what do you think about me? And in this case, Peter got it right. But until the Holy Spirit came, Peter always got it wrong. Okay? He always spoke up first and he always said the wrong thing. That excites me about being in church because I had to deal with a lot of people who speak up first and always say the wrong thing. So Peter, you can relate to Peter. But this time, Peter got it right. And we're not going to take the time, but you just read four or five verses down and he gets it wrong again. But this time, this particular time, he got it right. And what he said was, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As you study the Bible, you need to be there. Put yourself in the role of one of the characters. Peter was a Jew. He'd been taught all of his life that Messiah was coming, Messiah was coming, Messiah was coming, Messiah was coming. Oh, many of their routines, many of their worship things were centered around Messiah's coming, Messiah's coming. The whole Old Testament, beginning in Genesis 3:15, and starting there with a very, very small and almost non-understandable statement, it grew, and the prophecies grew and got bigger and bigger, that the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming. And so the Jews knew that Messiah was coming. Peter was standing and looking eyeball to eyeball with a human that looked normal. The Bible teaches that there was nothing special about the way Jesus looked. There was something special about the way he lived, but there was nothing special about the way he looked. And Peter, after spending time with him, could say to him, you are the Christ. The New Testament word is Christ. What's the Old Testament word? Messiah. So Peter is saying to Jesus, you are the Messiah that we've been waiting for years. And brother, that's dramatic. Here's a man who I deal with every day. A man that looks normal, and yet I have come to believe by being around him a year or two that he is the promised Messiah. And then he adds to that, not only was he the Christ, but he was the Son of the living God. Later, the Jews would basically crucify him because they said Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, making himself equal with God. Peter said, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. So he was with God. He was God and he is God. He's the Creator. And now he's the Messiah that the whole Old Testament talks about. He's the one that they look forward to. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. We're talking about who Jesus is. We've looked at scriptures that said he was with God, that he was God, that he was the Creator, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of the living God. Hebrews 4, 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So the Hebrew writer says here that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the same thing that Peter had said, right? Jesus is the Son of God. He also tells us something else about Jesus, because we don't have a high priest that don't understand us. Why? Why don't we have one that don't understand us? Because he has become a man, was born like a little baby. He became a man, and he lived, and then it says he was tempted in all points like as we are. He was tempted just like we are. Yet, tell me the rest of it, without sin. He never gave in to the temptation, but he was tempted. So this shows us that not only was he with God and was God, not only was he the Creator, not only was he the Messiah, the Son of God, he was also human. Right? He got on our level and understood what we face. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He was sinless. He never sinned. Not one time. Not ever. He had the temptations and he had the opportunities, but he never, ever sinned. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You don't believe me, but all these passages, there are a lot of other stuff I'd like to say about it, but I'm trying to center in on what Jesus, who Jesus is. Just who Jesus is. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul writes and says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures." So we have seen that this Jesus, this little baby that we're celebrating His birth at this Christmas time, this little baby was with God. He was God. He was the Creator. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He was our great high priest that I didn't mention when we was over there in Hebrews, but it said that. He was also tempted like as we are, showing that He was human. But He never sinned. Now this passage says that Paul says, I'm giving to you what I received, and what I received was that Jesus died for our sins. He took the punishment for our sins. He never sinned, but He took the punishment for sins. He took the punishment for sins according to what? According to the Scriptures. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that He was resurrected according to the Scriptures. How long after the death was He resurrected? 3 days. So the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, according to this passage, is according to Scripture. Okay? So Jesus was God. Jesus was with God. Jesus was Creator. Jesus was Messiah. Jesus was Son of God. Jesus was tempted like we are, so He was human. Jesus never sinned. Now we see that He died for our sins. He took the punishment for our sins. He was buried and He was resurrected, which means He came back to life. And the same Jesus who died is the same Jesus who came back to life. The same body that was buried in the tomb was the same body that came back to life, that is alive forevermore. It's not just a spiritual resurrection. It is a bodily resurrection. John 14:6. John 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus said, who said? Jesus said, who said? Jesus said, who said? All right, let me stop. The one that was with God, the one that was God, the one that created everything there is, the one that was the Messiah, the whole Old Testament promise He was coming, the one who is the Son of God, the one who is our great high priest, the one who had been human and was tempted like we are, the one who died for our sin, the one who was buried, the one who was resurrected. We're talking about the same Jesus. This Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Within the last 2 or 3 months, people have suggested to me that certain things we can't do because they're controversial. And I have all kinds of problems behaving myself when somebody tells me that, because the whole Christian religion is controversial. If you don't believe it, you go into any secular setting, any secular setting. I don't care. You can go to a newsroom. You can go into a restaurant and you just stand up and say, "Jesus is the only way to heaven." If you don't believe that's controversial, brother, just try. It is probably the most controversial statement that's ever made as far as America in 2007 is concerned. Everybody fights against it. Everybody. In fact, I think, and I don't know this because I'm in this church every Sunday, but I think about half the churches in America, if you were to stand up and say Jesus is the only way to heaven, you'd get in trouble. Now, I don't know that for a fact. I do know some of the things I read, and there are many roads to heaven. We're all trying to get to the same place. We're just using different methods. The Jews are going to get there, and the Muslims are going to get there, and the Mormons are going to get there, and the Jehovah's Witness people are going to get there, and the Baptists are going to get there, and the Catholics are going to get there, and the non-believers are going to get there. Everybody, all of us just using different ways. The only problem is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's the Jesus that was with God at the beginning. That's the Jesus that was and is God. That's the Jesus that created everything that exists. That's the Jesus that's the Messiah that the whole Old Testament talked about from Genesis 3:15 all the way through Malachi. That's the Jesus that died for our sins. That's the Jesus that was buried. That's the Jesus that was resurrected. That's the Jesus that said, I am the only way to heaven. So somebody says, I don't believe that. Lee, I don't believe that. I need to be loving. I need to be considerate. But friend, I'm not the one who said it. Who said it? Jesus said it. And he said he was the only way. We live in a society in which the chief virtue, the top of the list is tolerance. The most important characteristic you can have in America today is that you're tolerant of everybody else's position. I can believe what I want to believe. You can believe what you want to believe. They can believe what they want to believe. We're all just going to love one another. The only one we're not tolerant of is the person who's intolerant. Because tolerance is the top key. That's the top characteristic. That's the greatest virtue you can have in America. The only problem with tolerance is when it contradicts truth, because truth trumps tolerance. Truth trumps tolerance. And I believe John 14:6 is absolute truth. Now suppose I'm involved with a group and everybody in the group disagrees with me. But Lee, there is no way there could be just one way to heaven. I mean, there are a lot of religions in the world, and all those religions have a good thing. There's a lot of good stuff in all those religions. And it is, isn't it? I mean, yeah, you can check out any religion you want to, and there are a lot of good stuff. I a number of years ago, read a book that had a lot of sayings from Buddha. And somehow or another, I had just always, up to that time, just figured, you know, if they wasn't a Christian religion, they were wrong on every point. That's not true. That there are a lot of good things in a lot of different religions. In fact, I am convinced that the way you condemn people to hell is give them part truth and part lie. Because they get hung up on the truth and say, well, this part is true. I know this is true. Therefore, everything you say must be true. Jesus claimed to be the only way to heaven. Now, that does not mean that one particular denomination is the only way, or one particular church is the only way, or one particular group is the only way, but it does mean that Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. Peter would say this way, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other way. Now, that makes us controversial whenever we take that stand. People look at us like we are really weird. You just think you're superior to everybody else because you believe Jesus is the only way. And the reason I believe Jesus is the only way because Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. And if I go out and try to be loving and understanding and all that kind of stuff and say, well, okay, I realize you don't believe in Jesus, but you're going too. It's okay. Your way is just as good as my way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And if I stand alone, I hope I'll still stand on that foundation, that Jesus is the only way. And people say, well, that's controversial, Lee. You don't want to do that. Don't care. Sorry. I want to stand with the truth. Jesus is the only way. That Jesus that was with God, that Jesus that was and is God, that Jesus that created the whole world, that Jesus who is the Messiah that the whole Old Testament talked about, that Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, that Jesus who was buried and was resurrected, he came back to life, that's the same Jesus that claims to be the only way. And he is the only way. There's no other way. That's it. Are there good people in other religions? Yes. Are there good teachings in other religions? Yes. Is there any other way to heaven? No. Just Jesus. That's it. That's the only way. There is no other way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself, who is it? The Lord himself. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. That Jesus who was with God, who was God and is God, that Jesus who created the whole world, that Jesus who is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that Jesus who died for our sins, that Jesus who was resurrected from the dead, that Jesus is coming back again. That Jesus is coming back again. And he's not going to send his angels. What does our text say? The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now, second coming of Jesus is also controversial. Not near as controversial as the fact that he's the only way. But if you want to get in a good argument, just talk to somebody about the fact that Jesus is coming back. You can get in all kind of good argument. But the Bible says he's coming back. And it says when he comes back, those who are dead in Christ, those who are Christians, are going to be resurrected. Those who Christians who are alive at the time are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. How long am I going to be with him after that? From then on, forever. That same Jesus is coming back. So the Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas, don't leave him in the manger. Celebrate that birth. It's okay. I am fascinated that even though he was born 4 B.C. and the last book of the New Testament was written somewhere in the 90s, I think. So we got 90 to 100 years. Except for the night of his birth, they never celebrated it. Except for the night of his birth, they never celebrated it. At least we don't have a record of them ever celebrating it. But it's okay to celebrate it. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means you need to realize it is not a Bible holiday. We just came up with it, and it's okay. But it's not a Bible holiday. Let's review again. You tell me, who's this Jesus that we celebrate? Who is he? He's God. He's the Creator. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the only way. He died for our sins. He was resurrected. And he's coming back. Okay? That Jesus. Some of them may leave him in the manger. I think I'm going to celebrate the whole ball of wax, if it's all right with you. You need to know that Jesus personally. He needs to be your personal Savior, your personal Lord. You can celebrate what you call Christmas. But it's kind of useless to celebrate the birth of Christ if you've never really accepted him, isn't it? What do you celebrate? If he's not your Savior, you're just celebrating somebody's birthday. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. and then you need to live your rest of your life for Him. If you've never done that, would you do that right now as we stand and sing?